Well, welcome, church. This morning, we'll try not to go over like I did last week. We had some trouble for all of our internet friends. I talked longer than I normally do, and we couldn't get it uploaded. Oh, dear. I think I need to buy me a clock. Okay. Okay. Oh, praise God. You know, I honestly didn't realize it was that long. So that just tells me the Spirit of God had taken over. And you know what? When God is speaking, it shouldn't take, it shouldn't be grueling. Amen? We should be receiving as the Spirit of the Lord begins to speak. But anyways, let's forget about last week and let's take a look at what God has for us today. Now, over the past 3 weeks or so, we have been learning about the importance of seeing God as He really is. And above all these things, or in these things, and above all, we have learned that if we fail to see God as He really is, we actually limit God and His goodness in our lives. Amen? Because really, when we see God as He really is, what are we going to see? We're going to see goodness. We're going to see more and more goodness. And once you realize this, then you want to know God more and more as He really is. Because understanding and knowing His goodness is good. Amen. We're not finding out things about God that is scaring us, but we're finding things out about who God is to our advantage. Amen. And how good God really is. And when we don't know God as He really is, we actually limit that goodness in our lives. You can't receive something from God that you don't know He is able or willing to give you. Amen? And so last week, we kind of took a look at a few things, but in all of that, we saw how that Jesus came to reveal God to us as who? Not as God, but as Abba Father. Now, the word Abba, we know, means daddy. So that's a little more intimate, a little bit more understandable when we use the word daddy as to how we need to see God. We understand that word because many of us grew up with daddies. I never called my dad father, ever. Any of you ever did here? Only when you were being sarcastic, possibly, would you say father. But normally, a child will call his father daddy. And that, to me, speaks of an intimacy, a connection that you can't buy that connection. You can't, it's a connection between father and son. Amen? So that's what we learned last week. And we know that God is all powerful. We've learned that He's all holy. He's all perfect. He's almighty. He is the only sovereign God. But to you and to me, He is daddy, father. He is all of those things, yes. But Jesus came to reveal to us the Father as our daddy, as our loving heavenly Father. And He said this, if you and I, being evil, know how to give good things, good gifts unto our children. How much more is your daddy father going to give good things to his children that ask him? And remember last week I talked about doing parallels? The Bible does many parallels. And God is even using our common sense now. Think about your dad, your earthly father. Would he not want to bless you and do good things? How much more, I love the word much more, will your heavenly Father give you good things? And let's face it, our earthly fathers are limited to what they can give us. Our heavenly Father, there is no limit. There is things He can give us that our earthly fathers could never give us. And so that's exciting for us. And the more we see Him in that light, the more we'll be able to receive things from Him that a father or a daddy would give to his son. Amen? Amen. So seeing God as He really gives not only God the opportunity to bless us exceedingly, but it also gives you and I the boldness to receive all that he wants to give us. It gives us that boldness, just like you're bold with your own earthly father. You know, when you've got a good relationship with Daddy, you're not scared to ask him for anything. Am I wrong? But you know, even so, and just importantly as it is to see God as he really is, to know him as your loving Heavenly Father, just as important as that is, you and I need to see also on the flip side of that how God sees you. The two are interconnected. The two are interconnected. Who are we? Who are you? How does God see you? Remember in the book of Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus said to his disciples, "Whom do men say that I am?" "I, the Son of Man, am," pardon me. And his disciples replied to him, "Well, you know, some say you're John the Baptist, some Elias, some say you're Jeremiah, or, you know, perhaps one of the prophets." Now, first of all, I want you to notice that all of the things that men were saying about who Jesus was were from the past. All these men were from the past, basically, that had already come before Jesus. They cannot, and we've been teaching on that, it's hard for us to see beyond. It's hard for us to look and see beyond. They could not see beyond to the truth about the true identity of who Jesus really was. So then Jesus, he redirects the question, and now he makes it personal. He says, "Okay, guys, I get it. I hear what others are saying about me and concerning my identity. But the important thing here," I'm ad-libbing, of course, I'm adding things, but that's how I read it. "The important thing here is not what they say, but who do you say? Who do you say that I am?" And Peter, of course, he says, "Well, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Peter, blessed are you, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." Now, something very interesting about this, even in spite of the revelation that Peter got, what did Peter do? Even in spite, he was the first one to answer, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And of course, if you continue to read, he was the one that denied Jesus three times, yet he had a revelation of who Jesus really was. Okay, so what I'm trying to say here this morning is, yes, we need to see God as he really is. We need to have that revelation in our hearts, but more so, or as important, I shouldn't say more so, I'm not downplaying that, because that's the first part. But the second part is we also need to see ourselves as God sees us. As important as it is to know God as he really is, it's equally important to also know who we really are and to see ourselves as God sees this. And to do this, once again, you and I must look beyond the flesh and we must look and see our true identity. Now, here's a comparison in the Bible. Peter did not know who he was. He did not see himself as Jesus or God saw him. But John, on the other hand, the one whom Jesus loved, he saw himself as God saw him. How did he see himself? As God's beloved. And who was the one that ended up at the foot of the cross? John. Here's the difference. Peter, he did not see himself as God's beloved. John did. So Peter had the revelation of who Jesus was, but he didn't have the revelation of who he was. And because of it, he denied Jesus three times. when Jesus supposedly needed his disciples and the support the most. So we must look beyond our flesh to our true identity as well. And you know, I'm going to go off now into a totally different area. This wasn't planned. I was going to actually speak on something totally different, but it's like the Lord wanted me to tie these two things together on seeing the importance of seeing yourself as God sees you. And the Lord was speaking to me about this yesterday, and in especially basically what he was saying in the light of what is happening in our world and what specifically has taken place on Friday. I'm sure everybody has heard it. It's no secret. I'm sure everybody saw it on, how many of you saw it on TV? Over and over and over. In fact, Friday night I couldn't find anything else on TV but news and clips of the all of these attacks that were going on in France. And Jesus said something interesting in the Gospels. You can discern the face of the sky and you can know what the weather will bring for tomorrow, but you cannot discern the times. And he was speaking not only to them then, but he's speaking to us today. We must learn to look beyond. Just like when we must learn to look beyond. In order to see God, we must learn to look beyond the flesh man of Jesus. In order to see who we are, we must learn to look beyond the flesh. In order to see what's going on today, really the truth, we must learn to look beyond what's happening in the natural. Too often we get focused on what's happening in the natural. That's the strategy of the enemy. Remember last week, we talked about the four types of soil, and the third type of soil is really a distracted heart. A heart who is here, it, and what happens is the word is choked, and it produces and bears no fruit. So the Lord was just showing me that we need to learn to look beyond and keep our focus on what's beyond, not on what's happening here, not on the flesh, not on the things in the world. So we must look beyond the flesh, not only to discern and see who God really is and who we really are, but also who the enemy really is and what he's really after. We need to look at things differently than the world looks at things. Now, we all know what has happened again on Friday over in France. I believe it was Paris, wasn't it? And, you know, as the world all looks on in horror, because, of course, this is broadcasted all over the world, we will hear all kinds of things. And everybody that speaks seems to have a different opinion of what must be done to stop these terrorist attacks or ISIS, because they're behind it. And you know what? All of us feel for these people that are caught in the area where these guys blow themselves up or whatever means they use. We feel for them and their families. It's horrible. All of us want to see this stop. There's not a one decent person that does not want to see this type of terror stopped. We want to see them eradicated from the earth, right? I mean, all of us agree. It makes us angry when we watch and see. It's like, how can they get away with this? But I believe that as I was praying yesterday morning, and really my mind was still on it, and I was just praying for the loved ones that were left behind, of, you know, the people that were killed. And we have no idea who these people were, but we know that they have loved ones that now have to deal with their death. Such a needless death. So as I was praying, The Lord actually showed me, you know, we need to look beyond what we see all around us in the natural world. We need not to get so focused on the problem that we fail to see really what's happening here. And, you know, I was asking the Lord yesterday, I was praying and asking him for wisdom at this time. What must we do as God's children? How do we pray about this? How do we, you know, you feel so helpless. You think you need to do something. You need to pray at least for this situation. But how do you pray? And of course, we have the Holy Spirit and we can pray by the Spirit. But I also believe that we need to have a greater understanding of what we really should be praying about. How should we pray for our world at this time? And as Christians, we better ask that question. How should we be praying for our world today? And you know, the Lord, he asked me this question. Who is behind all this terror in the world? Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that one out. Who is behind the terror? It's the enemy. It's obvious. It's Satan. So we know here today who's behind it. But we need to ask ourselves the same question as the Lord asked me. What does he want? What is he after? You know, he's after the same thing he's always been after. He hasn't changed his strategy. He hasn't changed what he's trying to accomplish. He's after power, dominion. He wants worship. He wants to be the ruler. But in doing so and becoming that, he first must destroy what? The seed. He's always been out to destroy the seed. Right from the beginning in the garden, right after Adam and Eve sinned, God said that the seed of the woman is going to crush your head. So he's been after that seed since then. And, you know, I believe what the Lord was showing me in the manner that I'm going to try and explain it to you, that ISIS is just a pawn. ISIS is just a screen that he's using to hide his real agenda. And you and I and the rest of the world, we just want these people to go away. We just want them to be wiped out, eradicated. And somehow we feel like then this problem is going to stop. Well, the truth really is, Satan will not stop. He will just use another group of radical crazies. Excuse my expression. He will use another group of radical people to execute his plan. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 says this, you and I, we are not fighting flesh and blood. We're not fighting the ISIS. Now I'm talking about looking beyond what's going on in the natural. We are wrestling against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness. You can underline that in your Bible. Of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You and I will not stop him with natural means. We're not going to blow him up with a bomb or machine gun him down or kill him with a drone. I mean, we're taking out, I mean, praise God for our government. And I mean, they're taking action. I'm not saying that's wrong. But you and I, as God's children, we need to look beyond what is going on. We know that's not going to stop Satan from carrying out his agenda. Let's go back and let's look at that seed again. And let's see what Satan is really after. What is his master plan? We kind of know a little bit, but we know from Scripture that the seed is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But Jesus, who was the seed that was promised, has already come. And he's already defeated the devil. Satan's already defeated. Jesus now has gone back to heaven, and he has left you and I, the church, to execute his victory over Satan. Are we still all here today? We're still on the same page. You understand? He's left you and I to execute the victory that he won for us at the cross. He has given unto us the power and the authority back over Satan. So we must ask ourselves, in the light of what we see in the world today, how do we do this? How do we come against these wicked spirits? We know we're not fighting people. It's not about blowing people up. We know the battle is a spiritual battle. And we're wrestling against these wicked spirits in high places. And this just isn't going to be solved by getting rid of ISIS. So how do we pray? How do we come against what's going on in the world? How do we come against his schemes, his strategies? How do we defeat this enemy? You know, there's only one thing that can defeat the enemy. It isn't your gun, Megan. It isn't strapping a bomb around your waist and blowing yourself up in the middle of the terrorists. It isn't binding the powers of darkness. You can be binding and loosing all you want. That isn't going to work. There's only one thing that can defeat the enemy, and it is the one thing he is trying to stop and to destroy. Satan is using a group of people we call the ISIS who are blinded to the real God. And you know something? In their own crazy way, now hear me out, in their own crazy way, they are going about to establish a world that has a form of righteousness. And in doing so, they must eradicate every other person who does not believe in their God and in their way of being righteous. And they will do so even to the laying down of their own lives. So they're going about to establish a world of righteousness. So in their hearts and in their minds, they're doing the right thing. And they're giving up their lives for what they believe in, for their God. But you know, Satan is only using this group to usher in his real plan, his master plan. He is setting the stage for a one-world religion. How's that going to happen? Easy. The world, in general, our leaders, are fed up. And in trying to stop that radical group, they are going to eradicate all religion. No more freedom of religion. And that's what Satan is after. He doesn't care how many of these people we blow up. In fact, he's trying to get us so incited that we take radical steps to stop them. He knows that. So he's just using them to set up a world that would be open, that would be themselves frustrated to the point of, we've got to do something. We're willing to do anything to stop this. Can you not see it? And it's right, it's happening, it's unfolding right before our very eyes. I often used to wonder, how does a one-world government come, or a one-world religion come into being? That's impossible. I mean, we fight inside churches, how much less the whole world? But I can really see it on the horizon. And that's the one thing that Satan wants to stop is what? What is it? You know, I looked up the word Kedar, which is actually, in the book of Isaiah, it talks about Kedar. It's actually the children of Ishmael. And that word means darkness. What is Satan trying to do? He is the ruler of darkness. He rules with darkness. He is trying to stop the gospel. It's always been the gospel. He's stopping the light. If he can keep everything in the dark, it's the light that exposes him. It's the light. How do you dispel darkness? With light, not with bombs. He is the ruler of the darkness. How do we fight that enemy? With what? Light. We don't fight like the world fights. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. We don't blow people up or bomb them or shoot them. It's not about killing people. It's about exposing the darkness. And light will always, I mean, if you come in here and it's dark, you don't light a bomb to get rid of the dark. You don't bind the darkness. There's only one way to get rid of darkness, and that's light. And Jesus himself commissioned us to do one thing from the beginning when he left. What was that one thing? You go out and you preach the gospel. You go into all the world and preach the gospel. Do you know his commission has never changed? That's still the number one thing that we as Christians should do. How do you pray? How do you think of this, all this that's going on? You must be more invested in the gospel than ever before. That is his agenda. His hidden agenda is to completely eradicate the light on the earth. The Bible says, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 3 to 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 3 to 7. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light, there you see, there is the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency and the power may be of God and not of us. Satan is the ruler of the king of darkness. He is the father. Listen to this. He is the king of darkness. He is the ruler of darkness. He is also the father of all lies. He blinds the eyes of those who do not believe with his lies. So, tell me, how do we combat darkness? I said before, we can't rebuke it. You can't bind it. You dispel it with light. Where is the light? We just read where it is. This treasure is in earthen vessels, so that the power and the excellency is not of us, but of God. Where is the light? It's in us. You are the light of the world. You don't take a light and put it under the bed. No, you put it on the lampstand so that it can give light to the whole house. Let your light so shine before men. What can we do as a church at this hour? You can let the light shine. You can combat darkness with light. We are the light of the world. The Bible tells us this treasure is on the inside of us. If you only knew, the word treasure there is an invaluable thing that we have. You don't know who you are in Christ. We're going to learn that next week. You don't know the treasure that's on the inside of you. The treasure in one Christian is enough to dispel all the darkness in the world. And sometimes when we see on these world events unfolding, we feel totally helpless It's like, well, what can I do? I'm one person. I'm one Christian. We need to change the way we see ourselves. Thank goodness Jesus didn't feel that way when he came to the earth. What can I do in this world of wickedness and evil and sickness and disease and sin? I'm just one person. He changed history. He changed the world. You need to see yourself as God sees you. So this treasure, the Bible tells us, that is on the inside of us. No moth nor rust can break through and steal. You know what? No one can steal your treasure. No one. It is in you forever. They can beat you. They can do all kinds of things to you, but they cannot steal what's in your heart, which is the gospel message of Jesus Christ. It is the thing the devil has wanted since the beginning of time. It is the light, and he wants it out. He can't take it from you. And the moment you shine that light, guess what? He flees, as if, the Bible says, in terror. He doesn't want to be exposed. So he's got to shut you and I up. How does he do that? We're going to look more in depth at that next week. He knows you have the light, Tori. He knows you're lost. He just don't want that light shining anywhere else. So one of his things, the strategy he does, is he gets our focus off of what really is happening onto the world, and we get all upset like the rest of the world, and we don't shine. Remember I said last week, he gets your focus off of what is really important. He doesn't want us to have our focus on the gospel, because then we're going to shine. And so he comes along into the lives of Christians, but it's time. Awake. Arise, the Bible says, Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Arise and what? Shine. For the light has come. The light is in you, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. The moment we begin to shine, the glory of God is going to begin to rise upon you. He's waiting for his people to shine. So greater is the light that is in you than the darkness that is in the world. So today, I'm saying all of this to encourage each and every one of us to keep our focus not on what the devil is doing, but on what God has done through Christ and the commission he's given us. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. The gospel today is just as relevant and as powerful as it was in the day of Pentecost. And God's commission to us is still the same. Now, I'm going to ask us a question. The Bible says, what is the gospel? I am not ashamed of the gospel. The devil wants the gospel. He wants to squish it out. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation. It is the power. Why is it the power? Because therein the righteousness of God is revealed. When the righteousness of God is revealed to ISIS, guess what? They stop trying to establish their own righteousness. It stops the enemy in his tracks. It is the power of God unto salvation. So the gospel message is the light of God's glory in the face of Christ Jesus. But unto the world, the Bible tells us, the preaching of the gospel is foolishness. Now, if we were to share our views with world governments, most of them would think, you guys are nuts. If you were to say, no, let's not go in with bombs, let's go in with the gospel. That's foolishness. No, we got to kill these guys. We got to eradicate them. They're like a cancer. We're not denying any of that. But the answer isn't to blow them up. It's to preach the gospel to them. And the gospel message still has the same power as it did the day Jesus said, go preach it. God didn't change his mind and say, okay, I guess that's not working. Let's try guns. It says, unto the world, the preaching of the gospel is foolishness, but unto us, it is the power of God. God's ways are definitely not our ways. And there is no new way that there is to combat the evil that's going on around us. Still God's way. And we are still God's children with the light. The commission has not changed. So, if we are sitting and wondering today how we should pray or what we can do at this hour when things seem to be getting darker and darker, get excited because you know it's coming down to the crunch. And more than ever, in all the years that I've been saved, I know that this is the time for the gospel. The preaching of the gospel. Get that gospel out. You know, not all of us are going to be called to the front lines. We're not all going to be called to go over to Africa or wherever, over in these countries where everything is, you know, is blowing up. You know, Iraq, Iran, and all those countries over there. We can't all be going over there, thank goodness. But you and I need to, like never before, get behind the people that are over there and begin to pray for them for a new boldness. Begin to pray for their protection. Begin to support them with our money. Because we are all, as the church, called to preach the gospel. And we may not be able to go over personally, but we can surely support them. I've known this in my heart for quite a few months now. It's like the Lord has been speaking to me about supporting the gospel message. It's got to go out. This is how you combat darkness. Pray for these men and women. We don't even know who they are. God knows who they are. Pray in the Spirit for the gospel, for boldness, for protection. It is so important that we band together. Because if the body of Christ isn't going to preserve and protect the gospel, Satan sure as heck isn't going to do it. We have got to contend for the gospel. It is the power of God. It is the light that's going to dispel the darkness. And right up until he splits the clouds and comes back, we're going to be busy doing one thing, shining the light, preaching the gospel. And in our own world, we need to be bold and just share the gospel with those around us. We may not be standing on the front lines over in Africa, but we have people around us who don't have never heard the gospel. We need to let our light shine like never before. What does the Bible say? Blessed are the feet of those who bring good news. What is that good news? It's the gospel message of Jesus Christ. We need to be bold. And pray for others. Pray for one another for boldness. We need to let our light shine brighter than ever. We need to pray for each other that we all come to a new boldness in our shining, so to speak. And you know, when you really read, if you ever have read the whole book of Acts and you see the apostles who were given the original commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know, you're going to notice something. They never ever prayed for revelation. They never prayed for a lot of things. What was the one thing they prayed for? Boldness. Only. Prayed for boldness. Lord, give us boldness that we might freely and boldly proclaim the gospel. Because that's what we are called to do. And so often, we get focused on something else. We forget that that's, especially in this hour when it's getting so dark. Push harder than ever to get that gospel message out. Encourage those that are out there. Send your finances, whatever you can do, knowing in your heart that this is God's way, and God will bless that seed more than you can even imagine. That was the revelation I got. Let's work together. Because really, what else can we do? How else can we help? Yes, we can help in the natural with aid to those, you know, and we can pray for our government to do the right thing. But really, this war is a spiritual war. And it's going to be fought with spiritual weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of darkness. How? With the light. We don't have to fight. We just have to rest and continue to shine. And be ever aware and alert to an opportunity to send the gospel to someone who needs to hear it. Amen? Amen. Now next week, I want to tie in with what I've said this morning, how important it is that you and I see ourselves as God sees us. Because this ties so directly in with you and I being the light that God wants us to be. If you do not see yourself as a light, you're not going to shine. You're going to want to run and hide. It is so important. And like I said, I was going to get into all of that today, but I knew that I didn't want to go over like I did last week, so I can only do so much at a time. And I just really felt strongly in my heart that we needed to hear what I had to say this morning and to be encouraged that, you know what, as the world gets darker, we're just pushing in and getting brighter and brighter and brighter. Why? Because we're letting the light shine. It is our time. It is the time for the church to shine. You and I are not here by chance today. Not only in this place, but in the world. God specifically selected and chose you to live at this hour. That it is the most exciting hour to be alive in. It's like when everything's going to come down. And you and I have been chosen for that hour. So look at yourself. See how precious and how special you are to God. He's placed things in you, gifts, abilities, that only you can do. And he needs those things today. He needs you to shine. He needs you to get your focus off of what's going on around you and to really look beyond and see what is really happening. Amen.